Hello, I'm Justin. I'm an alcoholic. It's good to be here. Thank you for asking me to speak. All right, let's get right into it. So what it was like, I first got drunk when I was 14 years old, and my mom was one of those parents that thought that if she had alcohol in the house and I drank it in the house, then it wouldn't be a problem. So she got me one of these. She got me this bottle of white Zinfandel, and I was like, sweet. So I like, you know, I really like to watch movies. So I went and put a VHS tape in, kicked back with my bottle of white Zinfandel, and drank the whole thing. And it was one of those big ones too, like similar in girth to this guy. So that was fun. And basically, I was just like fucked up by myself, which was cool. High school went on, I tried other things, you know, the other things that we ended up doing. I smoked a bunch of weed and hung out with my friends and went to parties. And when my mom went out of town, my parents were divorced. When my mom went out of town, I threw parties. It never got really out of hand, too out of hand. So I was always like a good student, and like everything looked really good on paper. I played two sports. I was like president of things, and you know, looked really good on paper. Because the ultimate goal was like, okay, I get to like go to school and be on my own and do whatever I want. So while I'm here, I gotta like toe the line and do all the right things. So I did that. And I can remember the turning point was kind of like when I found out that I got into college. And I was like, all right, I got into college. And I got into the ones that like, you know, my parents would have wanted me to get into. And I did good. I'm like, so I can kind of like let things a little looser. I can relax a little bit. So from there, things things got interesting. So I mean, I played lacrosse when I was in high school, and I was pretty good. But I like always had like this kind of resentment towards my coach. I was basically like, fuck anybody that's trying to tell me what to do, and this coach definitely was trying to tell me what to do. I remember he would just. I just didn't like his disposition. He was a yeller. I fucking hate yellers. He was just bossy. He was just a dick. I remember I was just like mad one day in a game, and I played defense. I was defending this guy, and the guy that I was defending, like he just kept jostling me in this way that I did not care for. Like that, just repeatedly, when like there's no action happening in the game. And I was just like, he did it one time, one more time, and I just kind of lost it on him. And like, I got pads on and stuff, so I just started hitting him. But the coach was not pleased with me, and I was not pleased with the coach, and we had words, and not pretty stuff was said on both sides. And I was just like, all right, fuck you, I'm done with this shit. I don't need this anymore. I know where I'm going. I'm out. So I quit. That was fun. That was kind of like if anybody wanted me to do something, I was not cool with it. Regardless of how little was required of me to do it, I was not trying to do it. Before I went away to school, you know, I got a little crazier and started doing different things, more drugs. I got really into hallucinogens. I got really into acid. I loved acid. But, like, nothing really fell apart until I went away to college. When I went away to college, it was kind of like, I was just like, I'm free. I can do what I want. Forgetting the fact that, like, you know, I, like, went there with the intention of, like, I'm going to, like, do really well and study my ass off and get out of there and have a good career and, you know, all that stuff. And for a little while in the beginning, I was like, yeah, I'm gonna do this. And I was doing it. And then I don't know where people talk about a line you cross and you're not really sure when it got crossed. But I crossed some kind of line where, like, my responsibilities as, like, a human being, the stuff that I was supposed to do in life was, like, on this one hand. And me getting drunk and getting high was on the other hand, and, like, they didn't have anything to do with each other. And basically, for me, I was kind of very black and white about it. It's like, I don't see, like, studying many, many hours a night meshing very well with me drinking and getting high the way that I want to. So I guess I kind of, I don't know how conscious the decision was, but I was like, I'm going to just do this. This is going to be my deal now. I'm gonna go with the drugs and alcohol. And classes kind of fell away. As a result, administration doesn't care too much when you, like, don't go to class and you don't really get any grades for those classes that you're enrolled in. So after one semester, they're like, you got to go. You can try to come back in a year after you've, like, gotten yourself together. So I left. I moved home to New Jersey. My parents were not pleased. They were like, go to therapy. I was like, okay, I'll go to therapy. Therapy was not very helpful because I wasn't telling anybody the truth in there. It's kind of part of it. It's kind of how therapy works. You have to tell them what's actually going on in order for them to be able to help you. So I just continued. Like, I had some friends around that stayed in New Jersey and didn't go away to school. And these were, like, my troublemaker friends. So I hung out with them and got into more stuff. And things got worse. And a lot of acid. I loved acid so much. That was my jam. And when you do a lot of acid, as much as I was doing, it can be bad. So, like, you know, I'll tell one story, and then I want to, like, click through this drunkalogue. I never started my timer. Oh, well. How much time have I been going?
You've been going for 8 minutes.
Okay, cool. So one day, my mom had been out of the country. Her job required her to travel a lot, which was great for me because I got to do what I want frequently. She'd been out of the country for, like, 2 weeks. The house was seriously fucked up. I had been taking acid, like, every day for, like, a week. I had some really interesting ideas about life and how and how money worked and, like, how people, like, acquire things. Like, I had this master plan. You know, me and my boys, we were gonna, like, go to this fancy gated community, and we're gonna set up residence up in there. With what money, I don't know. And I was gonna accumulate some cars. I was going to accumulate several luxury cars. I went to a few places and shopped around a bit. The final stop was an Audi dealership. And I was like, yeah, I want this one. And I was talking to the dude. I was talking to the dealer. I was talking to the guy. We were like, you know, I was like putting on a show. I guess he really thought he was going to sell me a car. With what money? I don't know. But my mom called me on the cell phone. I had lost track of time. She'd come back from wherever she was. She's like, why is the house fucked up, man? What happened? And I'm like, oh, I got an explanation for that. And she's like, well, where are you? And I'm like, I'm at the Audi dealership. I'm gonna get this car. And she's like, all right, I'm coming. And it was a scene, and she then quickly got me into a car and took me to the therapist that I was lying to a lot, and was like, she was like, look, get him. And he's like, yeah. And I don't know, whatever, things happened. I ended up in the psych ward. And I'm like, whatever, what am I doing in here? I'm just having a good time. Taking acid every day for a week. So that was interesting, and that led me to my first experiences with trying to get sober. Or not really trying, but like I was like put in a treatment program, and they're like, you gotta go to these meetings, and I tried out a couple meetings. I was like, okay, that's cool for those people, but I don't really need that stuff. I don't know. I met this one dude, though, at this treatment center that I was going to. It was like an outpatient place. And this place, this dude, Bruce, he had been an addict, and he got sober. He'd been sober like 18 years. And I was listening to him because I was like, okay, this guy knows some things maybe. But I'm not doing this. This isn't me. I'm just a stupid college kid that fucked up. Fast forward, I like get my shit kind of back together. I go back to school. Within like a month, I'm like arrested and like back doing the same things and more. So messing around, doing a little bit better in classes, but still messing up enough that after that semester, my GPA is low enough that they're like, dude, come on, go away. You can maybe try and come back if you want to. They were really, really nice to me. They didn't have to do this. They were just like, we want you to succeed, so get your shit together. But I couldn't. So I like spent another year living in the town where my college was because I didn't want to go home again and go through all that. I spent a year living in the college town and working at a bar and doing weird little jobs and just basically just staying drunk and high all the time. And more weirdness ensued, and I end up in another psych ward situation. This is like a cycle. I mean, my point is, like, I would try and get my life right a little bit and get totally fucked up, and the same shit would happen again. So, like, ended up getting arrested again, which led to me having to try and get sober again, and this time I actually stayed sober for a little while. I was going to meetings in that town and put together, like, I don't know, 6, 7, 8 months. And then my father died. He had been sick for a while, and he died. And that was kind of my excuse to, like, okay, well, I can, like, do what I want again. I guess I'm grieving, right? So I remember the circumstances under which I relapsed that last time was... I was at a party. I'd gotten back into school finally somehow. I persuaded them to let me back in. I was at a party with some friends. I knew they were getting high in the other room. I was like, well, it wouldn't be terrible if I just went in that room and like took a little hit with whatever they got going on in there. And then my next thought was, yes, it is terrible. It will be really terrible. Like, don't do that. And then the next thought after that was, fuck it, let's do it anyway. So I went in that room and I did that, and then my life fell apart again. So that was cool. The bottoms were like, the first bottom was much more dramatic. The second bottom was kind of like, eh. Then the third one was like, we know how this show plays out. We've seen this before. This is just a repeat. But like, with each one, I broke myself down much more spiritually. Like, I was like, by that next go around, by the last time, I was kind of like I wanted to die. I was too scared to do anything about it myself. I had those situations in which you wake up in the morning and you're like, fuck, I woke up, you know? I had a lot of those towards the end. And it was like I didn't see a future for myself. The only future that I saw for myself was like, because I mean I'd been to meetings, I know I'd been to treatment. They say you're gonna do this for the rest of your life until you're dead. And I was like, I probably won't die. I'll probably just keep doing this, and it'll be the same. And it sucked. So it's like, I don't want to do this forever. I really didn't think I was gonna die. If I had died, that would have been me getting off easy. I basically just saw, like, I'm going to feel like this forever, and I'm going to have to, like, just like work hard just to maintain. And I didn't want to do that anymore. So I like packed up and moved back to New Jersey again. And I had to go to meetings. I tried for a couple days drinking, and I remember I went out with a friend from high school, and we had some pitchers, and I drank a lot, and like couldn't really get drunk. Eventually did. The following day, it was like really, really hot. It was August 2nd, 2004, so that's my sobriety date. I had like the mother of all hangovers that day. I just felt really disgusting. I was like, all right, I'm gonna call it quits. So I rang up that treatment center that I had gone to try and talk to that dude, Bruce, who had been sober for a while. I called there. They say that Bruce went out and Bruce overdosed and died. And I was like, what? And Bruce was cool. So I was like, okay. I ended up going to that treatment center anyway, and there are different people there, but it was helpful. And my mom like really wanted me to do it, so I did it. But I knew that I needed to like go back to AA and like really do it this time. So I did. I was going to meetings in New Jersey, and there are young people's meetings out there, but there are fewer of them. And I got tired of going to meetings and everybody being like, "Oh, little whippersnapper." I mean, I was 22, but like that was, I mean, that's, it was young. So I started trying to come to meetings in New York. I remember my first meeting in New York was midnight, Wednesday, 10 o'clock. And like that first meeting, I got really lucky because I met like my crew like that night. I met like the crew that I would run with for a good chunk of my sobriety that night. And they just picked me up and carried me. And I like learned how to be in AA with these people. I was extremely lucky to have had that happen to me. And I met my sponsor that night, and he shared, and I can't remember exactly what he talked about, but I remember feeling like, this guy's kind of an asshole, but he seems to know what he's talking about. He seems to be happy. He's got something. I'm gonna talk to this dude. So I went and talked to him. His name's John, and he told me the deal, and he's like, yeah. I was like, will you sponsor me? He's like, yeah, I'll sponsor you. So I started working with him. He had this big book study with like him and some friends and a bunch of other sponsees of his every week after this meeting, every Tuesday after this meeting. And we would all like go to this meeting and then leave and go to the big book study. And we'd read the big book through Dr. Bob's story. And then we would read the 12 and 12 all the way through. And I did that several times, you know, through the first 5-6 years of my sobriety. And that was like huge for me. I mean, individually he took me through the steps, but like going, reading the book with a bunch of people like repeatedly, was a really important thing for me, because it like, all these other people in the room, like there are varying degrees of sobriety. Some people had a little more time than me. There people with less came along, people with like 10 plus years. My sponsor had about 20. So like lots of ranges of experience. We would read paragraphs and people would stop and say, well, what is this about? And we would just talk it through. It was amazing. I mean, being somebody who like at some point when he's not drunk and high, like loves to think about and talk through texts, I was like into the big book. So it was really fun. I love the big book. My favorite meeting now is just like a big book study. So he took me through the steps, and one I didn't have a problem with. Let me speed it up. I was like, yeah, my life is fucked up. I can't control this booze stuff. I got to do something. Came to believe. I did not necessarily believe in a power greater than me restoring me to sanity. But what I did believe in was I saw everybody else in the room, all these other people that had gotten their lives together and were happy and were respected. And they didn't look like I felt. So I was like, word, these people got something going on. Let me see and try to do what they did. I made a decision. I mean, this is corny, but, you know, and I people say it a lot, made a decision to do the rest of the steps. And I did that. But in a lot of ways, it was just me trying to trust something. And I trusted, and I started working on my fourth step. And my fourth step was fun. I didn't fear it because I was like, at this point, I mean, my bottom was sufficient that I was just like, yo, tell me what to do. I'll fucking do it. So I did the fourth step. I was excited because I, like, wanted to know what the fuck is my problem. So I did it. I did a fifth step, and I told my sponsor all this dirty stuff, and he didn't, like, say, like, oh, I did that too. He just kind of, like, sat there, like, And then what it amounted to is, like, he was like, wow, sounds like that's like, not anything to be proud of, all that stuff. But that was helpful to me. And I came out of it not feeling, like, that sense of relief, like, the weight off my shoulders. What it felt like was more like, I feel kind of gross. Because my fear has created my resentments and my bad behavior towards everybody in my life. And it's created my inability to have any kind of real relationships with people. 6 and 7, I don't know, I feel like I kind of glossed over those ones, and, like, as a result, today I'm still thinking about how am I going to get rid of these character defects. Shit. The best answer I have for that is to try and act in opposition to them, so understanding what they are and trying to find what's the flip side of that coin and try to live in that, in the spirit of that, is what I try to do. I try. 8 made a list. He was like, you're just going to make a list. Don't worry about the rest of it yet. 9, okay, look at that list. Now you got to talk to these people. A lot of the damage I did, like, I didn't steal stuff. I kind of just sat in rooms and got high and didn't show up for stuff, you know? But I hurt my family a lot. So I had a lot of restitution there, which I did. And there were girlfriends and just people that I had hurt, and I had to fix that. And what that kind of showed me that, like, you can have relationships. Like, I never had, like, I didn't have any catastrophic amends. My amends were always kind of like, there was, like, fundamental miscommunication going on when I was fucked up. And, like, people were like, well, I felt like this way, so I felt weird because of blah, blah, blah. And I was like, oh, really? Holy shit. I thought blah, blah, blah. It was like the distance that I have felt, like, in my active addiction, it kind of, like, collapsed a little bit, and I began to feel closer to humans as a result. 10, you keep making sure when you fuck up, you do what you can to fix it. Yep. 11, sought. I'm always be trying to, like, improve that connection. And, like, it was funny because I didn't really believe. It's not that I had a problem with God, but, like, it didn't have anything to do with me, and I had to find a way to make it have something to do with me. And I just, my sponsor said, say the third step prayer, say the seventh step prayer, read 86 through 88, and just do that. And I just did that, and it meant nothing for months until suddenly it meant something. And then since then, my prayer meditation practice has expanded, and it's different, and I love it. 12, I mean, as a result of doing these steps and being in AA, being sober, my life got better. And it was funny because I was talking to this dude the other day about how, like, when I was my first year, I had, like, no life. All I did was go to meetings and go to the gym. That was it. It was awesome. Then my life got bigger, and then I got, like, then things became like, well, I don't really have time to go to the gym. I don't really have time to go to meetings. I'm kind of straight. I don't really need to go to meetings. And then, like, it was always a flip-flop between, you need to go to meetings, dude. And then it's, nah, not really. it's been like that back and forth for me over the course of my sobriety. I'm on a go-to-meetings kick the past couple of years, so that's good. But I went through periods where I was just like, I don't need to do that, man. I would maybe hit one a week, if that. And it's not that anything terrible happened, but I could feel the lack. Like, you know, the steps worked on me, and I like really, how am I doing?
You're at time, actually.
Okay, I'm at time? Okay. Let me wrap it up. Let me wrap it up. How am I going to wrap it up? The steps worked on me, and I have a fantastic life as a result of them, and I get to do all these other things, you know, like I went to grad school. I finally finished college after getting sober. Went back to grad school, did all this stuff in grad school, like led committees and organized things and like just did stuff. But the only reason I did stuff is because I knew how to do stuff because I had been sober and like went to business meetings and put chairs on the floor and picked chairs up afterward and cleaned fucking toilets and like I knew how to be a human being because of the things I did here. Like service commitments taught me how to be a human being. And working with others, like coming to a meeting. I mean, there's this one dude who I spoke at his first meeting, and ever since I spoke at that meeting, this is like 5 years ago, he sees me and he's like, Justin. And he always reminds me, you spoke at my first meeting. I'm like, I know, you tell me that every time I see you. But I love that dude. I love that dude. He's great. And like, I've had sponsees. None of them have stayed sober. I'm still sober. They usually get to four and they're like, I don't know about this dude. And then they go somewhere. But I've had a great life, you know? And it's cool because I stepped away from this meeting for a while. I hadn't been here in years. Last time I was here, it was in the other space. But I came back into this room like last fall maybe, and I see like some of the same old faces. See handsome Rob, more and more handsome. I see Janusz. I remember him when I was getting sober. Got sober around the same time. It's like, it's nice to come into these rooms and see the same people over and over again and like know that there's a place for you. So I guess I should shut up now. Thank you. Thank you.